Well, the first thing I wanted to do is thank you for being here today and to apologize for, on the day before a holiday weekend, ask you to convene at 4 o'clock. It's a big sacrifice, and I guess we know it, and I want you to know we're very appreciative of the fact that you're here. I believe that what is most noteworthy about today is the two of us, two former leaders of our political party in the state Senate, as recently as the last election, told the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board that we believed in elections and that we weren't ready for merit selection of judges. And after witnessing what has transpired since then with our Supreme Court election, where two good people had their reputations maligned by unbelievable amounts of third-party money coming from out of state, we, listening to our constituents, realize that there has to be another way. They are telling us that they think the system is broken, and they're frustrated, and they deserve better. One of the things that I want you also to understand is, in past legislative sessions, I've had an interest in this issue. I worked with the late Representative Steve Hilgenberg to try to reform the process and apply campaign financing to our judicial elections. And it's pretty obvious to me that didn't work. And it didn't work because of the U.S. Supreme Court decision. And I'm of the opinion that no matter how much money we put into a campaign finance system, we are not ever going to be able to outspend the special interests, the third-party money coming in from who knows where, and I'm not certain our taxpayers would ever even get up much beyond where we're at right now. So those are my opening comments. I'd like to give my colleague, Tim Cullen, an opportunity to say a few words, and then we'll be happy to answer questions.
Well, thank you, Senator Schultz, and I certainly agree with all that he said about my view is the same as his, that we have been lifelong believers in the election of the court. But over the last several years, I've continually watched each election in the process and realized that this is not what the people of Wisconsin have a right to expect. And one of the things that I've thought about is when you get a Supreme Court so heavily influenced by so much outside money, money that drains and drowns out their own campaign and their own message and what they might believe or not believe in, to the point where we are today, which I believe we are at the point where there are no surprises when the Supreme Court decides major decisions. And in my view, when there are no surprises, it's time for a change. We look at the federal level where U.S. Supreme Court justices are appointed for life. And in my lifetime, I've seen Justice Hugo Black appointed from Alabama by President Roosevelt and deciding, voting on Brown versus Board of Education to just strike down a separate but equal clause of the Constitution. He could not have voted that way and gone back to Alabama and sought election if that were what he had to do. Chief Justice Earl Warren, appointed by President Roosevelt, probably the most liberal court in the history of the country, appointed by a Republican president. President Kennedy appointed Byron Wizzer White, who voted on the court more conservatively than I think President Kennedy or his party expected. Justice David Souter, who just retired, appointed by the first President Bush, and voted differently than I think a lot of people had expected him to. And I think the reason all of them could do it was because they were free of special interest money, and they were free to go there and look at the facts of a case and look at the precedent of previous cases and vote that way without fear of retribution at the ballot box the next time around. So I'm pleased to be here with Senator Schultz. We are the belief that this place can do things in a bipartisan way. And this is an issue where I think there's an opportunity that there's not a sort of inbred Democrat or Republican position on this issue that exists in the legislature today, and it's a chance for us to work together. We started working on this in April, and so this is not something we've done in reaction to the events of the last couple of weeks. We have a Ledge Council memo from April 19th. The memo itself is not so important as it is we thought we wanted to have some proof to you that we, this is not something we thought of in the last week. So thank you very much and glad to take questions.
So Senator, what was so fractious that you were seeing before that was prompting that? Obviously, there are a number of things in recent weeks, including some really blistering opinions from two different sides of the court over the collective bargaining decision. But what were you specifically seeing before that made you want to look at a change?
Well, I can't remember the last time there was a major issue in front of the court where there were substantial interest groups on one side or the other on both sides, where any of us were surprised by the result of the court. The last case I can recall where there was some surprise was that sort of famous paint case of at least 5 years ago, where Justice Crook surprised people by voting the way he did on that the paint case. I can't think of another one like that. And I just think when it gets to the point where people who watch the process, people who work in this building, citizens around the state could wager their next week's paycheck on the results of the next decision, it's time for a change.
Critics would say, okay, you could appoint justices, and they're still going to be appointed, most likely, I would imagine. I haven't read the text of your legislation, but by who?
Well, that's part of what we will work out. It will be an impartial panel. If you're asking whether we can create a process that is has 100% purity attached to it, I don't think that's possible in the world we live in. But we will have a process that we believe that will result that when the justice is named by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, that justice will sit on that court immune from the huge outside money that Senator Schultz referred to, and be able to decide the cases on the facts of the case and the precedent of previous cases, not on who gave the most money or who might give the most money for or against them the next time they run.
Senator Schultz, you said you're not convinced that we could ever have enough taxpayer funding to really have impartial elections, but we never found out. I mean, the Impartial Justice Act was inadequately funded to begin with, and now even that funding has been taken away. So we really never had a chance to see what worked.
I think that the dramatic escalation of special interest money that has crept in here convinces me as much as anything that it is a losing proposition. Also, being well aware of the intolerance of my constituents in what they regard as frivolous spending leads me to believe that they're not going to be willing to fork up that much money. In the past, we've seen the problems, candidly, the problems with trying to get people to donate money for a clean campaign fund. So I think the beauty of what we're asking today, with acceptance of this resolution and hopefully a healthy debate and adoption under first consideration, is beginning the process of, are you satisfied with the status quo or do you want to change it? And I was heartened by the fact that this week in Milwaukee, Governor Walker, interviewing with the editorial board, said perhaps it's time for us to look at a different process. I think people are beginning to wonder whether or not it's time for a change. And we deliberately did not try to prescribe what that independent commission would look like, because we value our colleagues' ideas and opinions, and we want to make sure that we get that panel as good as we can get it. And I think when people feel like they're included in the process, that they have something at stake, we believe we can bring some folks along. And as Senator Collins said, there's no question that in our minds that there's a paradigm that we can reach, but we can do certainly better than where we're at right now. A while back, you asked about what did I see that led me to believe it now was the time. You know, going into this election, it was almost a foregone conclusion that Dave Prosser would win. He had a bipartisan campaign committee. Things were rolling along. And what happened was really less about what those two people who were on the ballot said, was it quickly evolved into a proxy election, and money started to pour in. I think that's unfair, and I think that is very chilling for people who will put their name on the ballot, because suddenly the elections become about how do you smear or use innuendo to sink somebody's campaign. You don't talk about their experience, their life's work, and their judicial philosophies. And I think that was unseemly, and I think that we can do better. That's what my constituents are telling me we can do better.
Let me ask you one more question. You don't propose, I understand, changing the term limits at all, and some people would suggest that the term limits, the lifetime term that you see on the Supreme Court of the United States, is what really protects the impartiality, because there's no concern of, okay, well, who's going to be in office when my term runs out, and will they appoint me or not, once again, based on my decisions. Is that something you obviously thought about, so what are your feelings on that?
Well, we have thought about our own feelings about a makeup of a commission. We've thought about multiple terms, but since Senator Cullen had the strongest feelings about the terms, I'm going to let him answer that question just out of difference, because we did have a real thoughtful discussion about that, and we did worry about it.
I think, first of all, I think we can't emphasize enough what Senator Schultz said, which was we now want the input of our colleagues. This is not the Schultz-Cullen plan. It's us proposing that we switch from a election of Supreme Court justices to a merit selection process. So we want their input on this. But we could end up with things like, you know, one 20-year term, one 25-year term, an age, you know, a mandatory retirement age. There's a lot of ways that this can be done, and a lot of ways you could get to having the commission that would have the confidence of the people of Wisconsin. That's the kind of commission we have to create. And I believe we will. But the more legislators from both parties are part of this process and involve their constituents, we're hoping that legislators will when they send out their questionnaires and their districts and stuff, that they'll ask about this question. We'll see what the people say. I think the people in my district are pretty much where the people in Senator Schultz's district are right now, which is they've seen enough and they believe there has to be a better way.
You know, one of the interesting things that I remember early on when we were discussing this, I was sort of leaning towards one 10-year term, because there are a lot of good judges in this state that I think could do a good job as a Supreme Court justice. But I'll tell you, I didn't consider that if you were young and all of a sudden you were going to be, say, 45, you're going to be 55 when your term ended up, there'd be a temptation to suddenly start, you know, thinking about your future, and that might weigh in your decisions. Senator Cullen pointed that out to me, and I thought, that's a good point. But just imagine for a second, you all have been around here enough to have watched the spectacle out here in recent months. Wouldn't it be refreshing to have senators standing up and debating the merits of one 10-year term, a 25-year term, or two 10-year terms? I think, to me, this is as much about bringing people back together in these Senate chambers as anything else. As Senator Cullen pointed out, there isn't a knee-jerk partisan position on this. I think what we need to understand, however, is that the Supreme Court has spoken, and we're not going to change that. So as far as I'm concerned, the debate really ought to begin. And we're doing a number of things in the near future. We're working on a list to get out and engage the public and see what they think.
It's been pretty well known that, especially since 2007 when Wilcox retired, that seat opened up, that there were a lot of candidates that weren't willing to put their name on a ballot and go through this process because of the smears and innuendo and what they would have to do. Do you think merit selection would increase the quality of the candidates that we would see on the bench? And quite likely, likely if it had been around for the last decade, would we have seen different faces on the bench today?
Well, in checking with other states and people who watch the process in other states, I am convinced that we would have wound up with good quality people on the bench, and that's not a judgment on who's there now, that we would have had a better chance of less strife and less unseemly elections dominated again by special interest money. And that's the kind of comments that I'm picking up as, you know, I talk to people in other states and I talk to people who watch other states.
But I'm sure you've heard that other candidates were not willing to run.
Yes, there's no question.
There's no question. And I don't think it's about, I don't think either one of us are questioning the quality of the people who are on the court today. We're questioning the process of how they get there and what that process does to the expectations people have about how they're going to vote, and then so frequently they vote the way everybody thinks they're going to vote. What I believe with certainty is that, first of all, we'll have more people of high quality want to serve on the court through this method, and then most importantly, they're going to be people of integrity who are going to get there through a process that will not have them owing large interest groups, particularly out-of-state interest groups.
And let me say emphatically, as a partisan, this is not about winning. It's about providing a process where people can have confidence in justice. And I think that's something that the public understands.
There's going to be a lot of people that say you're taking the process away from the voters, that the Supreme Court will no longer be accountable to the voters, and that you're putting it in an old boys' club.
I believe the process has been taken away from the voters already. These campaigns are not funded by the average citizens of Wisconsin giving $25 or $50 or $100 to the candidates. It's way past them. These are about multi-million dollar campaigns being run by interest groups who may or may not be from Wisconsin. The money may or not be from Wisconsin. And the money doesn't have to be disclosed depending on what kind of interest group is spending the money. They don't even have to disclose who gave it or how much. So I think this election process is what has taken the input of the citizens of Wisconsin away from who is their Supreme Court justice.
Look what we're proposing here today. We're proposing asking the people, what do they think? Did anybody bother to ask the citizens of Wisconsin, was it okay for us to dramatically ramp up this spending from people you don't know, and again, that may not even be from the state, and that money would be used for ads that were just sickening? No, that was shoved down the throats of the people of the state. What the two of us are suggesting is we want the legislature to consider passing this in under first consideration this session, hopefully in the next legislative session doing it a second time, and then giving the people of this state an opportunity to voice their thoughts about whether we ought to get about the business of moving in the direction of merit selection.
You two have been two of the more moderate centrist people commended by both sides of the party for willing to work with each other. But in this partisan atmosphere, what makes you think that your own parties will listen to you, since some of the ideas you've already proposed this session have fallen on deaf?
We don't know that, but I'll tell you what, maybe just setting a good example would be one thing that comes to mind. Stepping out there and showing that we can work together, that we are interested in issues, and that not everything is partisan.
And we can't make them listen to us, and they may or may not. That's not as important as getting a chance to talk with them and encouraging them to do an opinion poll in their district, do a questionnaire in their district, have them find out how the people they represent feel, and I think they'll find that across the state people are ready for a change. But I guess we probably ought to emphasize more that whether Senator Schultz or Senator Cullen think that we ought to have appointed Supreme Court justices through some merit selection process is not how this happens, and it won't matter. This is about getting a constitutional amendment where the people of Wisconsin will decide whether this change takes place. Not the state Senate, not the state assembly, not the governor for sure. It's going to be the people of Wisconsin in a referendum if the constitutional amendment, proposed amendment, passes the legislature twice.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks.